But when you turn it on, it always works better. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we find our theme, which is in verse number 6. And we'll read that in just a moment. But let's begin in verse 5. Paul tells Timothy, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." The Bible says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us." Isn't that wonderful? "And called us with a holy calling." That's all of our testimonies. "Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Now, verse 12, 13, and 14 are the verses that we'll emphasize tonight. The Bible says in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in the faith, and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." I often mess up when I'm reading because I have two conversations going on in my mind. I'm trying to preach my message before I've started, and it causes me to struggle when I'm reading. If you don't know what I'm talking about, bless your heart, I'm so glad. But my brain is just twisted that way, and it's really, really bad when I start arguing with myself. And then I have those two conversations going on at the same time. It's ugly. But I ask you to forgive me for not being able to read this evening. And I can read. I just have to work at it. But I don't want you to miss the point. God used Timothy in a mighty way to encourage Paul. And as we look this morning in verse number 4, that Paul was filled with joy because of the testimony of Timothy. And we understand that Timothy was who he was because of a godly mother and a godly grandmother. So important for us to recognize those things. I want to share with you several things tonight, but I want you to pray with me and ask the Lord that he'd speak to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful for the word of God. So grateful and thankful for the opportunity to teach and preach your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that everything that is said, Lord, would bring honor and glory to thy precious and holy name. Lord, I ask that you would help every part of the service. Lord, please bless every bit of it. Lord, may we look to you. May we be encouraged. May we be challenged, Lord, to be right with you. Lord, to follow the path that you've given us. Lord, help us to be obedient to you, Lord. I ask that you would help us to see these things about Timothy's life that would make us stronger and better Christians. Use this message now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got several things I want to share with you. I gave you many quotes about mothers this morning. How many of you think that I sound just a little bit like I'm in a barrel? You guys think, I think I'm in a barrel, rain barrel, Brother Sean. I don't know if you can help us with that or not, but I think you guys might be fighting each other. Sean up here in the front. We're still working on this thing. We're going to get it right. We're going to get it right. But what we're working on is trying to get all of these mics on the same page so that we don't have to have this fight every time. It's very challenging for the preacher, and it's a distraction to me. It was a distraction this morning, wasn't it? We want to get it right for the glory of God, amen? But it takes work to get it that way, and it takes patience and time. And you guys are the guinea pigs. Sorry about that. All right, so let's look together at this thought. I want to share with you some quotes. I told you I read several books on mothers this week, and I'm hoping that some of the things I say will be an encouragement to you, and the most encouraging things will be found in the Lord, in God's Word. Lois and Eunice were used in a mighty way to produce character inside of Timothy. I want you to look with me again at verse number 5. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." remember that mothers have a huge responsibility of investing into their children. I've said this many times, that a Christian home is not about what you take out of it. It is important that there's some things that are removed from your home, amen? And you know, if you look in the scripture, there were things that were in the homes in the early New Testament church. They took them out and they burned them, things that just didn't have any business in the homes of a believer. And it may be that you have something in your house that needs to be removed. But removing things from your home is not the key to the Christian life. It is what you put into the home. I want you to think about it this way. A monk will take just about everything that is in his life and remove it. He'll live a life of solitude. And he will deprive himself of everything that may bring him any type of pleasure. It doesn't make him an ounce more spiritual. But he'll do that as a sacrifice. He'll do that as a commitment to a false god. But I want you to understand that a Christian is interested in what he puts into his life. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you. Always be investing in your spiritual life. Always be investing through your prayer life. Invest time with the Lord. Invest in your Bible reading. Invest in your church attendance. Those are investments you'll never regret. You'll never regret investing into your spiritual life. Now, when we look at these two mothers, this grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice, they invested into Timothy. I'm so thankful for all the people that invested in me. I would not be the man that I am today if it weren't for hundreds of people that have influenced my life. Different preachers, Sunday school teachers. I've had men from all types of walks. I'll name just a few. Fred Cassidy, he was a carpenter. He took me soul winning for the very first time. And he said, Fred, you need to go out soul winning with us. If you feel like that God's called you to preach, then you need to go out on Tuesday night. It wasn't Thursday night, Pastor. Tuesday night, and go soul winning with us. I said, I'd love to go. And I went for the very first time with a man by the name of Fred Casting. He's in heaven now. There was a man by the name of J.C. Lambert. And he took me on the first bus route that I was ever on. J.C. was missing a finger here. And if I'm not mistaken, a lawnmower blade got it. And in the wintertime, he would always wear gloves, and all the fingers would work except this one. And if you could imagine the glove, it was always flopping in the wind. It made such an impression on my life. And here's the reason why. We would go down Lilybrook Mountain, picking up children to ride the church bus, and he would be singing deep and wide, deep and wide like this, and I could see that finger flopping. And as we were going down Lilybrook Mountain in a 77 passenger bus at who knows what speed with no hands on the steering wheel, I'm singing that song, coming home. Here we go, I'm coming to meet the Lord. And you know, if you know anything about that mountain, you know what I'm talking about. You don't go down Lilybrook Mountain with no hands on the steering wheel. And it made an impression on my life, the bubble gum that he stuck in his pocket, and the way that he had a way with children, almost 85, I think it was, when I started visiting with him, but he just loved to visit, loved to spend time. He influenced me. He encouraged me, and I could go on and on and on about people that have influenced my life, and I'm very thankful for each one of those men and also ladies that influenced me. What a great thing. The very most important influence that you ever have on someone is an influence that affects their character, that affects inside who they are. And what I'm saying tonight is there's no other person in the world that has the opportunity to have a greater influence on the life of a young individual, a young child, than a mother. A mother has a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous responsibility to influence the inside of their children. Timothy says, Paul said to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. The verse concludes with this thought, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Twice, he talks about the character that was installed in him by his mother and by his grandmother. That's a blessing. Now, when we get to these next verses, verse 12, verse 13, and verse 14, we're no longer talking about the inside. We're talking about a spiritual stability that is displayed on the outside. And by the way, no one is ever spiritually stable on the outside until they're spiritually stable on the inside. That's where it begins. You'll never be on the outside what you need to be until you're right on the inside. We're falling to pieces on the outside because the inside is not right. Does that make sense? And that's where the Lord does the work. a stabilizing work, a securing work on the inside that then manifests itself on the outside of our lives so that we might have an influence on others. Let me give you just a few quotes. Mothers know how to say the right thing the right way. Isn't that true? Here's another one. A mother is the only person on earth that can divide her love among 10 children and each children still have them all. And each child still have all her love. I'm going to repeat the whole thing. A mother is the only person on earth that can divide her love among 10 children and each child still have all her love. Someone said motherhood is ordained by God and designed by God himself for a very special purpose, and that purpose is to influence children. What I want to do tonight is I want to share with you just three areas that Timothy's life was influenced by his mother and by his grandmother. This morning we talked about Lois and we talked about Eunice and the faith of Timothy. I mentioned three things. Number one, I mentioned that his faith was real. I mentioned number two, that his faith was rooted in the Word of God. And then finally, we talked about the fact that his faith was reproduced. Lois's faith was reproduced. And again, we should all have a goal in our mind to reach our families for the cause of Christ. But tonight, I want to draw your attention to verse number 12. And we know the batteries are not dead. So this is nothing other than it's nothing that we're doing. It's just it's electronic. I mean, what do you do about that? Well, here's what we do. We ignore it. Amen. And when it comes back, it comes back. I have no idea. It's just gone. It's all right. It is. Look with me at verse 12.
The Bible says, go ahead and turn the pulpit back on. And if it decides to come, it's not going to bother me. I'm not going to let it bother me. Look at verse 12. For the which cause, turn this one on though. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I want you to mark this phrase now. Paul tells Timothy, he says, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. The first thing I want to share with you is this. Not only did Paul, but Timothy's mother and grandmother influenced Timothy in his confidence. You know, children need to build their confidence up, don't they? I'm watching my grandchildren grow up, and I'm watching them get confidence in certain things. I saw a video of little Clayton in an electric car the other day, and it took a little bit of confidence for him to push the fuel pedal down. He's still not steering, you know, kind of like maybe some of our drivers. I don't know. But we put an impact drill in his hand the other day, and he was afraid to pull the trigger. But we kept doing it in front of him, and finally he grabbed it and pulled the trigger. Of course, it scared him, and then he came back. But just building confidence, and that's what happens with children. Their confidence has to be built. I want you to understand, number one, mothers have a tremendous influence in the confidence of their children. You know, one of the reasons why the generation that is before us today has so many problems is they did not learn the confidence that they needed from their mother. Confidence that can be built in a Christ-centered way. I want you to notice the wording here. Paul says this. He says, for I know whom I have believed. It doesn't say what I have believed. What do we emphasize? And this is a great danger, especially with programs like Master's Club or Awana or something like that nature. We like to say, this is why I can tell you the books of the Bible, or I can tell you what this book of the Bible means, or what the theme of this book of the Bible is. And we can tell you lots of things. What? But it doesn't say that, does it? The scripture says here, for I know whom I have believed. This is the confidence that we want. We want our confidence to be in our Savior. And true faith is always rooted in Jesus Christ. I want you to make your way over to the book of Acts chapter 16. And I want to share with you how Timothy's faith was built. His confidence was built. Timothy was raised in a very unique situation. As a matter of fact, it may be that you're here tonight and you would think, boy, I sure wouldn't want any children to be raised. I wouldn't want to raise any children in this generation. Boy, as bad as things are, as difficult as things are, I sure wouldn't hate. I would hate to have a child during this time. Do you know, it's easy to say that, but that doesn't line up with the scripture. I want to share with you what took place in Timothy's life so that his parents could give him the confidence that they needed. You know, with that mindset, with that idea, with that thought process, it could very easily lead to a life where, wait a minute, where are the children that are trained to serve the Lord? Where are the children that are trained to live for Jesus Christ? Do you know Christianity is only one generation from extinction? If mom and dad doesn't do their part, if they don't do their part in raising their children, guess what? Christianity's gone for a generation. One generation away from extinction. May we always be so careful to live the Christian life in front of our children and teach them the things of God. Here in Acts chapter 16, we find a very unique situation. Now, in Acts chapter 16, I want you to tie this to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 where we're reading. Remember the two names I gave you this morning, Lois and Eunice? We're going to be talking about them. These were two Jewish ladies, okay? Two Jewish ladies, but the problem was they did not marry Jewish men. They married Greeks, Grecians. The Bible says in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, just like I mentioned, and believed." Now notice this conjunction, "but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Here's what I want you to see. They were in a mixed home. It was a mixed marriage. Things were difficult. But here's what happened. Even though that it was a mixed home, they still managed somehow or another to preserve Bible truth in the life of Timothy. They still managed to instill in the life of Timothy what the Bible taught. And by the way, it doesn't matter how bad our generation gets, how bad our culture is, we still have to do our part to instill the truth of the Word of God in every child that we come in contact with. May God help us to do that. Mothers have such an important role. Here we find these two Jewish women in a pagan home, in a pagan culture with Greek men. But they were still doing right. They were still passing down their faith. They were still being obedient. They were still doing right. And here's what happened. Because they chose to do what's right, even in a very difficult situation, it built confidence in Timothy. Would you look with me at verse 3? Speaking of Timothy, we're in Acts chapter 16, verse 3. "Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him." By the way, he's no small child at this time. He's a young man. "Because the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek." I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think about the confidence that Timothy had to have in his mom and his dad. Think about the confidence that had to be built in Timothy by Paul to be able to follow the Lord in that type of fashion. Let's put the rubber where it meets the road. You ready? If you had a missionary that came and preached the Word of God and says, "Hold a minute, your life is going to be drastically altered physically in a very painful way," would you follow? Paul told Timothy if he was going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ that he needed to identify by being circumcised. And Timothy was circumcised. And think about the confidence that Lois and Eunice instilled in that boy for him to be able to reach that mark in his life. You know, there's many times in my life I think, oh boy, you know, we do something very small or very simple and we think that we've accomplished a great thing. It is nothing in comparison to what Timothy went through and what he was able to take place in his life. And the transition was getting ready to take place. Let me talk to you about this transition. What we find is Timothy's salvation took place at a very unique time in history. We're looking at a post-apostolic time where the apostles were beginning to pass off the scene. As a matter of fact, we could say it this way, that Timothy was one of the very first pastors after the apostles had perished, after their life had been taken. And here's what you find. In the beginning of his life, 30 years of persecution from outside the church, 30 years where they persecuted the church. Watch this. During that 30-year window, there were 10 different Caesars. Now, that's a historical fact. It's not in the Bible. But during that window of time, 10 different Caesars. And what were they? They were very unfavorable to those that put their faith and trust in Christ. And here's what we find. We find a young man that had so much confidence in God that he was willing to be circumcised to be able to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. It wasn't about what he knew. It was about who he knew. It was about the fact that he knew that God was able and that God was working in his life. Let me ask you something. What type of confidence are you building in your children? Are you building the type of confidence in their lives where that they could take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in the public school system? Are you building the kind of confidence that they need to be able to witness to a lost and dying world? Listen, we're not going to be here forever. You see how quickly time goes by. Pastor, was your 23 years here like a moment in time? Was it just but a breath? It was here and gone, wasn't it? And I think to myself, I've been here for 5 months now already. Is that even possible? How in the world? 5 months. During the time that we have to influence our children, we never know when our last day or our last chance to influence one of these children, we need to influence them so that they have confidence in God. That's what mothers do. Mothers install confidence in the life of their children. Let me give you the second thought. Would you turn back with me to 2 Timothy? The Bible says, we've read in verse 12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." He was confident in his salvation, confident in his faith in Jesus Christ. Now look with me at verse 13. Paul tells Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. You know, not only did Lois and Eunice influence his confidence, but they also influenced his convictions. They influenced his convictions. Where did convictions come from? Have you noticed that this generation don't have many? Have you noticed that the generation that is growing up right now, and even the one that was just before, they don't have very many convictions? Where do they get them from? Yeah, it's you and I. They get them from their parents. They get them from those that are around them. And to be honest about it, the church is doing a rather pathetic job at passing down convictions. Do you agree with that? Amen. You know, there are some convictions that we should have that should be rock solid. We should take a stake and drive it a mile deep concerning some convictions in our life. See, Lois and Eunice and Paul told Timothy to hold fast the form of sound words. What does that word hold fast means? It means that there's a steadfastness, that it means to preserve the truth. That's the definition of it. It means to preserve something, to hold fast form of sound words. I want you to look with me in the book of Hebrews. Would you turn with me to the book of Hebrews, and we find another word that is very similar. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, and I hope that you'll look at this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. We look in the middle of, or the end of the chapter, right in the middle of the context, but a truth here that can be pointed out, very helpful. When we talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, the Bible says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. That word anchor gives us the same meaning or the same thought as holding something fast. We've dropped the ball, have we not? The church of today has dropped the ball concerning convictions. As a matter of fact, it'd be a good thing for you to write out what convictions that you have. You ever thought about that? It'd be a great idea just to write out some things that you say, I'm not going to budge on. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. I believe this is what thus saith the Lord, and I'm not going to move on them. You need to write out some Bible convictions. You need to write out, you know, because here's what happens. The older you get, it's easier to move on those convictions. Did you find that to be true, Pastor? Is it the older you get, is it easier to compromise? I believe it is. We need to establish some things early on in our life. We need to establish some things in our youth, in our children, that we hold fast like an anchor, that is set so that it's unmovable. Paul told Timothy that it was sound words. Those are healthy words. Those words from the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me again in Hebrews chapter 6. We're still in verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Then the Bible says both sure and steadfast. That's the word that I gave you to define hold fast. Then the Bible says, and which entereth into that within the veil. Now, I have always skipped by that phrase. And remember, I told you I quit reading the Bible verse at a time. I just quit doing it. And I started digesting and dissecting the verses that I'm reading one phrase at a time. It's so helpful. It is so important because here's what happens. There is a deep, tremendously beautiful truth here in this phrase. Notice what the Bible says. And which entereth into that within the veil. Now remember what the veil is, right? The veil is what divided the Old Testament tabernacle, the holy place, from the Holy of Holies. And we understand that it was in the holy place where the priest ministered. Those beautiful pieces of furniture. Trust me, I'm not going there. I know you thought I was going to, but I'm not. I want to, but I'm not. And then on the other side of the veil, in the Holy of Holies, what was the most significant thing there? It was the presence of the Lord. You might want to say it was the Ark of the Covenant, or the mercy seat, or the cherubims, or whatever it might be. Maybe the blood, or the law, or whatever you might call out. And all those would be good. But the most important thing about the other side of the veil was God himself. The most important thing about what was on the other side of the veil was the presence of God. I want you to think about this for a moment. Lois and Eunice and Paul, they influenced Timothy in his convictions. And the scripture says here that which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. May we have convictions that go on the other side of the veil. May we have convictions that are so deep. May we have convictions that are so powerful. They are literally formed in the presence of God. They're literally formed because of God's glory and because of his presence. Dear friend, here's what I found out. We live in a generation, we live in a time where the first time really in history, the first time in all of history, that the church really doesn't identify by any convictions. May we hold fast that which has been given to us. Let me give the young folks some advice. I miss teaching the teenagers. Let me give the young folks some advice, and this is just advice that I was given as I was a child, as a young man. If you don't have any convictions of your own, borrow your parents. Borrow your parents' convictions until you get some on your own. Until God speaks to you. Here's another way of saying it. Don't allow your standard to be less than the standard of your parents. And by the way, parents, what you do in moderation, your children will do what? How? In excess, that's right. What we do in moderation, your children will do in excess. There's no doubt about it. May we hold the line. May we hold our convictions and our standards strong. Look with me at the third thing. Would you turn back with me to 2 Timothy? And we'll be finished with this. In verse 14, one more thought, and it's so powerful. The Bible says in verse 14, that good thing. What is the good thing? It's the gospel. Remember, what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. That good thing. Which was committed unto thee. Notice what the Bible says. Keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What we find here is they influenced his commitment. They influenced his commitment. Mothers, influence the commitment of your children to stand for what is right. Influence the commitment of your children to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I truly believe that the Lord has placed on my heart, and I don't want this to come across in the wrong way. I want it to be in a way that would be Christ honoring. I truly believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has put it within my heart to encourage you, to influence you in your commitment to the Lord, in your commitment to following Jesus Christ. See, time and life has a way of making the spiritual life like a roller coaster. Up and down, up and down, up and down. Praying, reading your Bible, and then flatline. Praying, reading your Bible, then flatline. Praying, reading your Bible, then flatline. Do you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if God is going to bless this church, if God is going to use this church in a mighty way, then we have to commit to obedience. We have to commit to following the Lord. We have to commit to being consistent and doing what is right. We have to commit to the good thing which has been given to us. Paul told Timothy, that good thing which is committed unto thee, we need to commit to to what has been committed to us. Commit to what God has given us to do. Commit to the work that the Lord has given us to do. This word commit means this. It means to guard, to keep, to protect. That's the idea. Would you look with me at chapter 3 and verse 14? I'm almost finished. Chapter 3 and verse 14. Paul tells Timothy, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Before this message, I've always thought, well, it was Paul that taught him all that. No, it wasn't Paul. It was Paul and Lois and Eunice and so on and so forth. Timothy had been, we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. I wrote those names down here. The Bible says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. But continue thou. We understand that what I'm preaching, what I'm teaching, it didn't come from Fred Hart, right? This is not my message. This is the message of the Bible. May we continue in it. Let me share with you just another thought. Turn with me to chapter 6. 1 Timothy this time. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 20. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. We're staying right here in Timothy. Look at the responsibility that was placed on Timothy. Timothy would have never been able to commit to this level of dedication to God if it weren't for Lois and Eunice. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, "Old Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings in opposition of science falsely so called." He tells Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. I have one more verse I'd like to share with you, and you don't have to turn here. Brother Shane has been teaching a series of messages on from the book of Jude. And if you're familiar with Jude, you know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to verse 3. Would you give me your attention for one last moment, and I'll be finished. Here's what Jude told the New Testament church. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should," what does the Bible say? "Earnestly contend." Would you mark those two words? "Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." May God help us to be faithful, not in a fighting way, but in a dedicated way. Hold fast that which we've been given. I feel like that I've shared some pretty important things with the church since I've been pastor. They're not my things, I can say it. If it were me, I would say they were not even firecrackers. They would be like those little, you know, those little white things that you throw down, one of those called snap it things. Yeah. They'd be like, "Kip-sh." I don't even know if it'd do that or not. Maybe one with just two grains. Poppers, yeah. But it's even greater than a firecracker. You guys remember the M180s? It's bigger than that. It's even bigger than a stick of dynamite, bigger than C4. What I've given you is the truth from God's word. Now let me ask you, are you committed to it? Here's the test. Here's the way that you can know if you've committed to what we've learned. How faithful have you been to it? I'm talking about this week. I'm talking about today. Have you applied it? Have you prayed? Have you been stirred up? Have you been right with the Lord? Mothers have a tremendous opportunity to influence their children's confidence. They have a tremendous opportunity to influence their children's convictions. That season of time only lasts for a small window. And mothers have a tremendous influence to influence their children's commitment to God. There's nothing that you'll do in the life of your child that's more important than to get them to commit to the things of God. May we do that as a church body. May we do that as a body of believers. Would you stand with me? As Miss Sandy comes and begins to play, the invitation's simple. You say, "Brother Fred, I still need to keep working on it. God's dealt with my heart tonight. Would you come? Would you seek the Lord? Would you ask for his help?" How committed are you to obeying the Lord? How committed are you to following what you've said you'd obey? Would you come? Commit to it. Commit to following the Lord. Commit to obeying his will. You say, "Brother Fred, I've got off track already." Well, that's okay. Get back on.
You say, Brother Fred, I've already made mistakes. It's okay. Ask the Lord to help you. Get back on track. Commit to it. Commit that your life is going to be different, that you're going to be the real thing like Timothy. Unfeigned faith, real faith, not hypocritical. No, real faith, genuine faith. Lord Jesus, we bow before you tonight and we recognize our inability. Lord, we recognize that, God, without you, we can do nothing. Lord, we need your help and we need your blessings on our church. Father, we want to obey you. We want to follow you. We want to do your will. Lord, I ask that you would give us supernatural Holy Spirit power to live the unfeigned life. I pray, God, that you'd help us to be real and genuine in our faith. Lord, help us to follow after you sincerely and honestly. God, help us to commit to what we've heard. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to use our influence for your honor and for your glory. Help us to obey you and do what is right before you. We ask all this now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. I'm so glad that you're with us. Don't forget about the plants outside. Make sure you take some of those with you as you go. All right, God bless you. Thank you.